Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 48, Being Filled. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on November 11th, 2018.
I actually love the Cuban people because God put that love in my heart for them back in the 90s when I was taking food through my pastor's international relief program and traveling with him to many nations. We had an opportunity when the former Soviet Union crashed to try to take food to Cuba, and we never succeeded because of problems with our government, problems with their government, and so forth and so on. But during that time, God really put it in my heart to go to Cuba, and I wanted to go, and I wanted to go, and it just seemed like no opportunities to go. It was like a closed door. But then somewhere around 2006, God opened the door for me to visit with one of my mentors, Pastor Larry Stockstill from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I went with a team and we ministered to some pastors there, and that's when I met Pastor Emilio Alonso and some other key pastors in the nation, and was able to develop some relationships that's now been an ongoing relationship. So I've returned there a number of times, probably 7 or 8 times to Cuba, maybe more than that. I don't try to count places, times, you know. I've been to a lot of countries. I've been to between 60 and 70 places. Mostly not the picnic areas of the world, but it's just been a blessing. God has blessed me to have an opportunity to go to those nations and to just see what He's doing. And everywhere that I've gone, I've found that there's been revival. There's been a move of God there. In these places, sometimes even in refugee camps. I mean, it's amazing to see people in just terrible, desperate situations receive Jesus and then be filled with the Holy Spirit and then really have their lives changed and be in the middle of a really bad situation, but they're so happy, they're so joyful, they're so filled with peace, and there's chaos all around them, and you're thinking, this is just crazy. How can these people live like this and be happy people? And then you come back to the United States where we have everything, and, you know, maybe you don't need a lot of faith. I mean, maybe you only need half the faith that most of the people in the world have, because everything is good here. Everything works here. The lights come on. You have water. I mean, you turn on the water faucet and there is actually water there. But some places, you know, you turn on the water faucet, there's no water. There's no food in the refrigerator. The electric goes out. All kinds of things happen in places like that. But yet, people who have Jesus and are filled with the Holy Spirit are happy people, joyful people, full of His grace and full of His favor. So I want to share with you this morning about the Holy Spirit. This month, we're talking about the Holy Spirit and some different aspects. Several of us have spoken and about this already. Pastor Karen ministered last week, and she was sharing her message with me today. I thought it was really, really, really great message. I think she's a better preacher than me. But anyway, I have a hard time getting her to do this, so you can pray for her and pray for me or something, because I want her to use her gifting. She's really, really, really great. So I want to start this morning. I think in this couple you're going to see in the video that I'm just going to give you a brief video from Cuba, but I think in this couple's eyes you can see the joy that the Holy Spirit brings inside of you. They've grown up in Cuba, and in Cuba, basically the wages are low. Everything is expensive. If you want to buy a car or a house or anything like that, everything is expensive. And so they constantly have a struggle to make ends meet. But the people who receive Jesus are just full of joy, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, and just amazing people. So I want you to see that in this video where they're giving a testimony.
Gracias a nuestro Señor Jesucristo, ha sido una bendición tremenda, ha sido mucha bendición el estar evangelizando, y muchas almas han aceptado a nuestro Señor, y le doy muchas gracias por eso. Persona.
So this is Adam and his wife Liana, and he is saying thanks be to God for all of the salvations that have come in the last couple of days. He's very thankful for the team coming and helping.
personas que antes eran idólatras y han aceptado a Jesucristo. Ha sido obra del Espíritu Santo. Estamos muy felices.
It has been a work of the Spirit. People that have been involved in witchcraft, people who've had many idols in their life, they have just given everything up for Jesus and received him.
Una señora católica,
a Catholic lady,
recibió a Jesucristo.
She received Jesus as her Savior.
Y comenzó a llorar.
And she started to weep.
Y me besaba la mano.
And she would...
Your circumstances and situations put you in a place where you can be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit and the problems, troubles, happy times, good times, and really be praying for the Lord. Because he's empowering you, he's anointing you, and he's helping you. Praise the Lord. So I want you to look at the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This is kind of the key scripture that doesn't
say. And I know we've had a lot of testimony and things, so I'll try to make it a little bit shorter today than my normal. But Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. So, that little phrase that says, instead be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you kind of do a little bit research into the context and also into kind of the Greek language that it was written in, it really could be translated this way, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, or be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. So it's not kind of like, okay, today just be filled with the Holy Spirit. No, it's be continually, be constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit. So for some of us that, you know, maybe we grew up in some denominations and then we got baptized in the Holy Spirit or came to a different knowledge of what the Holy Spirit is about and so forth. We sometimes just relegate being filled with the Holy Spirit to one experience. You know, some of the more conservative churches feel like you've got all the Holy Spirit you're going to get when you got saved, and that's it. And then you go to a Pentecostal church and they'll talk to you about another experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and seems to be another distinct experience, but, you know, then that's it. But when you read in Ephesians what Paul is saying here, he's talking about something that's ongoing, something that's continuing, something that's increasing, and something that you have a part in. And your part is to sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so when you're around complaining Christians who are grumpy and look like they've been baptized in pickle juice or something, you know, or ate rusty nails for breakfast, then you're wondering, you know, what happened to this person? Because, you know, we're supposed to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and we're supposed to be really impacting the lives of the people around us that we work with, that we talk to, that we engage. But, you know, we get mad at somebody that cuts us off in the road. The line is too long at the Meijer store, or, you know, something just sets us off, or somebody looks at us cross-eyed and we think it's persecution. And, you know, I mean, it's like, really, what is with us? What is with my attitude? I mean, I'm not accusing you of anything, or Christians of anything. It's just, I've seen these things in my own life, you know, just get impatient with people, you know, speak badly to my wife. I'm just like, why are we like this when we have him? And we're supposed to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. He's not like that. Why do we struggle with the things that, whatever it is we struggle with, when we have him? You know, it's just like, it seems like some things just never go away. And, you know, I don't know, you can say it's my Irish, it's my German, it's my whatever, it's my background, it's whatever you want to blame it on. But really, no, it's you, it's me, it's us. It's something's wrong if we're not allowing the baptism in the Holy Spirit or his presence in our life, if we're not allowing that to be preeminent. Then there's something wrong in our lives, and we need to fix it. And Paul says the way to fix it is to be engaged in that process that God is taking you through to keep you filled with His Spirit. Now, I probably should have brought a glass of water out here, and you know, you can, just to illustrate, but you can probably mentally see the picture if you have the glass and it's half full. It obviously isn't full. So when does the glass become full? The glass only really becomes full. You can only know for sure that it's full when it begins to run over the brim, right? Because until it runs over the brim, there's still a little small amount that you could put in before it's full. So one of the ways to tell if a believer is a spirit-filled Christian, if they're really filled, is to see if there's any overflow coming out of them in their lives, because that overflow is the blessing of God that touches the lives of the people around. So when we go out and do Revive Engage, you know, like on the Saturdays that we go out, or when you do it one-on-one in your workplace or wherever the stores you visit and so forth, and you're engaging somebody, that's a great time for the overflow of the Holy Spirit to show up. One of the things that I've seen with these Cuban teams is that from the moment that we're coming out of the prayer meeting, they're like racehorses at the gate, saying, "Why are we waiting?" Is that they were like getting impatient just because it was taking a little longer to line up the taxis or to figure out how to pay the taxi drivers and all of those kind of things. They're saying, "We could have already won 5 people to Jesus, and you're out here trying to figure out where to get the taxi," you know. And it wasn't that it's totally unorganized, but in Latin culture, sometimes things go a little bit slower than others. And Pastor Emilio is really precise about stuff. I mean, he just is really careful with finance. He's really careful with everything. One day, I gave him $10 too much for the 10 CUCs too much for the taxis. And he said, "You miscounted." I mean, I didn't expect him to count it. I mean, the guy who gives the money to the taxi driver would count it and probably bring back the 10, but he counted it before he gave it to the guy who's supposed to give it to the taxi driver. So, but he's very careful, he's very methodical, and he's conscious that, you know, these are valuable assets, and we can win people to Jesus if we preserve our assets and use them for the kingdom. But the people are saying, "Just let me get out there. We want to get there and we want to take the gospel to the streets." So when we're filled, being filled with the Spirit, it's a process. God is doing something, but you have a responsibility to be engaged in that process so that the cup or the glass doesn't stay only half full or half empty. It's all constantly and continually overflowing to take the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth, because that's your purpose in life. Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all nations." He didn't say just sit in Fort Wayne and hope that somebody takes it to the nations. He said, "You go and do it." So it's not me who has to figure out how you do that. You have to figure that out. But we want to make you opportunities to do that in a lot of ways. And we want to do it better than we've ever done it before. We want to do it more than we've ever done it before, because it's what Jesus said to do. Amen? Does that register? So, and I'm not guilting anybody into taking mission trips. I'm just saying we have opportunities. Are we going to take them? In some cases, the nations have come to us. Today we have, you know, people from a variety of nations in our meeting today. They've come to us. We have the chance to minister the gospel to them. So what will our excuse be when we stand before Jesus if we've not done the job that He's called us to do? I mean, what will you say? What will I say to Him if I don't do what I do? If I don't go when He says go? If I don't minister to those that he brings to me. What will I say to him? I will have nothing to say to him because, what, you know, I just didn't do it. I was lazy, or I was sick, or I was, you know, whatever. I can make excuses, but what excuses will hold any water? Probably none. Amen. So anyway, when I meet him, I want to have a good report. And there's also something in the Bible that says, you know, that you should submit to leadership so that leadership can give Jesus a good report about you. So I've always strived when I've been in others' ministries and working and helping others and networking with other ministries to be the best servant I can be, because I don't maybe get a reward down here, but someday somebody has to give a report about me. Did I do a good job? And I want it to be a good report. I just have that in me that I want it to be a good report. So in the Bible, there's a story of David and Goliath, and I think we'll read a couple of verses from this, but I think you'll see from that story something was different about David than the other people that were around him. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and you know the story. David's father sends him to the army camp, and the army camp is afraid of this big giant that comes out every day and taunts them with words and, you know, challenges them to bring somebody out to fight him. Says there's no need of just our armies fighting each other and we're just killing and slaughtering people. Just let's make a contest between two people, me and somebody else. You pick a champion, have him come out and fight me. And if I win, then, you know, it's winner takes all. And if you win, it's winner takes all and we'll surrender to you. So it's a deal. It's a good deal. But he's a giant, and all the people are afraid of him. And David kind of comes on the scene. Now, David is a shepherd boy. You know his history. You know that David is the author of many of the Psalms that are in the Bible. And that's the relationship I want to make with what Paul said in Ephesians. He said, sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I think the life of David is a really good illustration of what can happen to a person who really gets a hold of that principle of continually being filled with the Spirit and engaging God in such a way that God is constantly moving in your life in an area of ministering to you and empowering you to do the things that he's called you to do. Now, David didn't know, he didn't know exactly what would be the outcome of his actions that day. He was kind of the snot-nosed kid that was the little brother that had the big brothers who were in the army. But he's a bold little guy. He's talking too much probably, and he's annoying people. The Bible says in verse 22 that he left the supplies that he brought in the hands of the keeper. This is 1 Samuel 17:22. And he came out and he greeted his brothers. And then as he talked with them, there was the champion, Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. The words that he said was, you know, that he was defying the armies of Israel and he was defying the God of Israel and he was challenging them to a fight. So David's thought is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who will challenge the armies of the living God? He's just like, what's wrong with you people that you're allowing this to happen? And this boldness arises in him. And it says in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So, I mean, this was a pretty awe-inspiring circumstance that David walked into, because everybody's running except him. Verse 25 says, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, will give his father tax exemption in Israel. So David spoke to the men who stood by him and said, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so it shall be done for the man who kills him. So They're all saying the same thing, and David keeps bringing up the subject till he finally gets to his brothers, and they're annoyed. Because, like, who is this kid? So it says, verse 28, now Eliab. So I mean, here's the thing. When you try to do, when you step out to do something for God, you're going to get some opposition. And if you don't deal with the opposition and don't conquer in that situation, you're finished. If you go out into the streets of Cuba and you start ministering and there's some opposition and you stop, you're done. You just go back home. But when you pray and God begins to show you what to do and how to act in that particular situation, whether it's Cuba or whether it's America or whether it's somewhere else in the world, then you can stand your ground, because there's one thing about the cross. Jesus defeated the devil at the cross. Amen. He's a defeated enemy, but you have to enforce his defeat by standing your ground, not caving in, not backing up, not giving up, but going forward. So that's what David is doing here. And he's challenging, he's trying to rally the troops, basically. He's trying to say, look, God's bigger than this. He's a big man, but God's bigger. So who is this guy that he should challenge God? We've got God on our side. With God, if it's like, you know, we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? But then we don't always act like we really believe that. But David is believing that. Why is he believing that way? Well, because he has a relationship with God. And his relationship is punctuated and is immersed in his worship of God. We know that because of all the psalms that he wrote. We know that music was inside of him. So he must have been singing to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, because later on he wrote them all down. This is how we conquer the battle. Isn't there a song like that? This is how we fight our battles. You know, there's a song we sing like that. But the thing is, it's not about the song we sing. It's about what are we doing? Are we really fighting that way? Are we really fighting our battles and having victory in Jesus? Victory in the Holy Spirit. Victory through the power that God has given us to do that. So Eliab, the oldest brother, heard that he spoke to him, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. In other words, to be an observer. And David said, listen, look what he said, verse 29. He said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? So that's my question to you. If you've been under it, is there not a cause? If you've been challenged, is there not a cause? If the devil backed you into the corner, is there not a cause? Isn't there something worth standing up and fighting for? Isn't there something worth standing up and pressing through? Sing to yourself. Begin to let the melody of God roll out of you. And let the high praises of God, who's enthroned on the praises of his people, fill your life with his presence and his grace, so that you can be the kind of person that's up to a challenge. You were born for this time and this hour. God didn't put you in some other era. He didn't put you in some other nation. He didn't put you somewhere else. He didn't put you in another city. He put you in this one. So live in it. And live it out like greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Because he really is greater. He really is bigger. Amen. And he really loves you. And he really cares about what's going on in your life. He just wants you to stand up to it and say, no, no more. Devil, stop. Quit. I'm finished with you. I left that life behind when you could intimidate me and when you could make me bow down. So stop. I'm going forward. I'm going forward with God, and I'm going forward filled with the Holy Spirit, because I want his presence in my life continually. Amen? Because that's the only way you can conquer the enemy and get beyond the place, the line that he's drawn. He's drawn a line and saying, you're not going to cross that line, because if you do, I'm going to give you trouble. Well, this is the kind of attitude that you need to have, like David, said, what line is that? Who's making the lines here? I'm not respecting your lines, devil. I'm going across. And if you don't stop bothering me, I'm going to hurt you. And when you have that kind of boldness in you, it only comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Peter, he had some problems before Jesus died. I mean, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane sleeping when he should have been praying. Jesus said, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. And he said, you know, all the rest of these guys can leave you. I know they're wimps, but I will never leave you. But he's sleeping with the rest of them. And then when he gets to the courtyard, he's denying Jesus. I never knew this man, just like, don't know him. And then again, I never knew him, I don't know him. And then again, and then he remembers what Jesus said. Before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And he begins to repent and to weep. But on the day of Pentecost, you see a different Peter. You see a guy that's ready to take on the world. You crucify Jesus, you crucify me, it doesn't matter. This is the truth. You crucified him. You put him to death. And he's preaching this great sermon, and 3,000 people come to Jesus like in one day. Amazing. Because he's a changed person. And something else is going on inside of him. Something else is driving his life. That's someone else, really. It's the someone of the Holy Spirit is driving his life. And he's full of the boldness of God. Praise the Lord. So David is a perfect example. But this is the point I want to make out of this. You know, life has a rhythm and a pace. You can allow yourself to determine that rhythm and pace. You can allow the devil to determine your rhythm and your pace. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to give you a rhythm and a pace in life. Have you ever met a Christian, a believer, who they're always worn out? You know, just beat up and worn out. And you go, wow, how can I help this person? You know, life can't be that bad. I mean, yeah, it's troubles, but just every day, every week, every month, every year. And, you know, we want to encourage people, but sometimes you just want to kind of like, you know, I'm just going to stay away because I can't take any more complaining. I can't take any more of this backing, you know, just like backing up and backing up and backing up. What are we going to do? So we pray for those, we pray for that to happen. And, you know, that God does something to spark some fire and to put that, you know, put them on the right path. You know, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. So where is that Lord who's my shepherd? He leads me beside the He puts me in the green pastures and leads me beside the quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Just think about that for a moment. How does he restore your soul? He just doesn't do magic for you. When you engage in worship and praise, when you engage with that psalm and hymn and spiritual song inside, you're being restored in your soul. David was restored, and he was put to a place of leadership and put to a place of victory and put to a place where he could face the giant with a sling and a stone when everybody else was trying to put him in Saul's armor. But he was filled with something. He was filled with someone. He wasn't full of himself. His brothers thought he was full of himself. He just wanted to come and see the battle, kid. But no, he was full of God. And he stood his ground, and he faced the giant, and he took him down and took his head off. Praise the Lord. So life has a rhythm and it has a pace. So when you begin to flow with the Holy Spirit, he energizes you and empowers you. So last week when I was out ministering after a few days, you know, it's a little bit warm in Cuba, but I love it. You know, I love warm. I just like it. I said, to Alan, maybe I just stay, you can go home. But it was pretty warm out there. And we had, you know, some bottled water. But after the end of the day, you know, it can be, and you're going from 7 in the morning till 8:30 at night, it can be a little bit tiring. So people ask me the next day, aren't you tired? And I said, no, I'm not tired. Maybe Bob is tired. I'm not tired. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Come on. But it wasn't because, you know, I didn't experience some physical kind of things. It was because inside, I felt like he was saying, charge, go get them. It's another day. There's 25 more believers out there that want to, there's 25 more sinners that want to come to Jesus. So let's go get them. Praise the Lord. So he energizes you, he empowers you, and stress and fatigue leaves you. If you're stressed out, get a dose of the Holy Ghost. Sing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make some melody in your heart to the Lord. It'll help you. If you're feeling sick, worship Him. I know you don't feel like worshiping when you're sick, but it'll help you. It'll bless you. Because He wants to lift you up and take you out of that thing and put you in a different place. That's why He's the comforter. He's the encourager. He's the one who brings to remembrance the things that Jesus says and all those other things that John said, Jesus said He would do when He sent the comforter to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, you will accomplish more with less when you have the Holy Spirit working with you. My friend, Pastor Larry Stockstill, is one of my mentors. He said a lot of times, he said to us, he said, you know, I've learned over the years that when I have my quiet time with God and I have my prayer time, he said, I can make 8 decisions an hour. He said, but if I skip that prayer time, I can't even make 1 decision in 8 hours. And then sometimes it's the wrong one. So let God really do something inside of you. And if you're not there today, let someone help you get there. Let someone encourage you, engage you, minister to you. But then engage yourself by taking a hold of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, of any generation, we don't really have an excuse. I mean, you know, you saw those great music that was on the music videos. I mean, wow, who couldn't be inspired by something like that? Put one of those on in the morning. You feeling down? Put another one on. If you're really feeling down, just plug it in and turn it on repeat until it's really down inside and is coming out of you to overflowing. Praise the Lord, because it'll do wonders for you. So, why does that work? Well, one of the reasons it works is because Jesus had a special message for you. His special message for you is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you come to Jesus, you're yoked with Him. Pastor Larry tells a story about the ox and the yoke thing. When there's a new ox that they want to break in, and back in those days when they farmed with oxen, what they would do is they would take the old oxen, they'd put them on one side of the yoke, and they'd take the new young bull, put him in the other side of the yoke, and the young bull is charging to take off, the old bull is setting a pace. So after a while, the yoke kind of gets chafing the young one because he's always pressing against the yoke and he's not pulling with the older one. But after a time, he learns the pace. The old bull, through experience, has learned, we've got to go through the end of the day. We don't just charge off, but we've got a pace. We've got a rhythm. And if we stay in this rhythm, we can pull together. And the reality is that when two pull together, they can get a lot, they can pull a lot more weight than one pulling alone. So they yoke the two together. And when you're yoked with Jesus, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. You can get to the end of the day. Because life's rhythm can be determined by the Holy Spirit operating and moving in your life. Okay, so let's, I want to bring the plane down. Let's finish with going back to Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment. Just starting in verse 15, Ephesians 5:15. So the first thing that Paul is saying is, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. That's God's message to you today. You're a believer. You have the Bible. You have the Word of God. You've got Christians around you. You've got Christian radio, Christian television. I don't know if anybody has CDs anymore. Maybe you've got some flash drives. They're probably out of date and out of style. You can access the web, get a podcast. You've got a world of inspiration at your fingertips. So don't be unwise. Don't be like a fool, but be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is, because He's got it out there for you. It's a decision you have to make. Am I going to be wise today, or am I going to be like the fool? Am I going to fill my life with melodies today, with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing? Or am I going to have misery? Second thing is, he says, make the most out of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Make the most of it. Having a bad day? Make the most of it. Having a good day? Make the most of it. Having a so-so day? Make the most of it. But understand in all of it what the will of the Lord is, what He wants you to do. It's a great way to live. Because your problems become small when you're doing what God wants you to do. Because He's a big God, just like David found out. Number three, don't be drunk with wine, which will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs among yourself, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. He's telling you how. You don't need drugs. You don't need to be drunk. You've got something much better. You want to get high? Get high in the Holy Spirit. Get high in the Lord. I mean, maybe some people don't like it when you use those kind of analogies, but I've seen some pretty inebriated people on both sides of the fence before I was saved and after I was saved, and I was pretty amazed when I saw people being filled with the Holy Spirit and some of the loopity loops they did, but I mean, they were happy. They were joyful. And they had something good happening in their lives. Amen? I don't mean we have to just be crazy all the time and just be Fruit Loops, but, you know, just at least be open that God can do something besides what you've experienced before. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number four, give thanks. This version says for everything. I think some versions say in everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to Him in everything. You don't have to be thankful for what the devil is trying to do to you, or sickness, disease, poverty, lack, circumstances, situations, and bad times, but you can be thankful in them. Amen? I know sometimes those things teach a lesson, but some people think that God's teaching them that way, but His Word is a better teacher. Is a good schoolmaster. The Bible says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And when we have Jesus, we've got something to look forward to. Amen? Praise the Lord. But in it, we can give thanks, no matter what the circumstance or situation is. That's number four. And then finally, number five. I usually don't preach five-point messages, but number five is further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Learn the value and the power of submission to leadership, to those who God has placed in your life to bring you to a greater place, and to one another, because we learn from one another. We can lay down our lives for one another. We can live this out together. We can be disciples together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to break this time just for 10 minutes for you to just talk to each other about morning. I'm going to have Enoch come and come on up. And also Tanya. And I've just asked them to give one short thing each about how the power and presence of the Holy Spirit has impacted them when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. So Enoch, you can go first.
It needs some Holy Spirit. So my background is this. I'll keep it very short. My background is this, that when I, the church I grew up, they didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I read in the Bible, it's there. So, you know, there's always this confusion. So when I came over to America from India, I joined this church, which they believed in it. So I was very much interested. So I learned about the Holy Spirit. And if you know who the Holy Spirit is, then you can understand how you can receive it. So that was my beginning. I thought that, you know, when people speak in tongues, it's like, you know, you throw up. You know, you don't make yourself throw up. It just comes out, you know. So, you know, when people started praying for me, you know, I'd be like, okay, I'm ready, Lord. You know, I thought he'll just come out and I'll be, you know, out of control, you know, just jumping, bouncing around, you know. But that was not the truth. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we initiate by step out and he fills it, you know. So that was my background. So when I did, it was not an immediate process, you know, slowly I had to learn. So I did get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then it was like, it was a change. I could feel a lot more clarity. Now, there's a whole lot of things that I learned from, you know, growing in that process. So let me do this. Repeat after me. Yeshu Mera Hai.
Yeshu Mera Hai.
You just spoke in a new tongue. But you don't know what it is, right? Right. So, yeah, I basically told in Hindi, Jesus is mine. You know, and you know, you can also say, I am Jesus's, you know, but hey, you just spoke in tongues and didn't take a whole lot of faith, right? You just did it. So I started like that. And as I stepped out in faith, I had an understanding of what, you know, he was speaking through me. The result of that, you know, and it's a process, you know, it took me months and years, you know, after that. One of the things that the devil said was, that's gibberish. It sounds stupid. You know, that you're just making it up. And, you know, I struggled with that. It's like, really? You know, nobody wants to make a fool of themselves. But I said, you know, if this is it, you know, my pastor back in Illinois, this was when I was in college, said, there is no stupid tongues. Keep at it. You know, keep at it. You know, practice. Keep practicing in the closet. And pretty soon, I remember once I was in church and my pastor's wife was speaking in tongues and I was speaking and we were speaking the same thing. And I was like, how can you speak the same thing? Because I didn't understand what I was speaking. She was, you know, and I was like, this must be from God. And it's interesting. I heard a missionary who was a missionary to Peru where he was preaching and God told him to stop and pray in tongues, you know, pray in the Spirit. So he started praying in the Spirit. And then God said, stop, continue with your sermon. So he said, okay. So he did that. And the church, we know, it got over. This is in Peru. A lady came to him and said, did you know what you said? And she said, I'm from, or my ancestors are from Germany, and you spoke perfect, the old German language, and you had a message for me. This is Peru. They don't speak German there, but it was for her. And God's been telling me this over and over. And I said, I need one confirmation. And I have not told this to anybody. This was a message for me. So God speaks supernaturally. So for me personally, it was a release. I was very shy growing up. You know, I'd be a mama's kid right behind my mama. Yeah, can't you believe that? But when I got baptized, you know, it was something turned, you know, inside out, upside down, right side up. I had, you know, the shyness went away from me and I became bold as a lion because the lion is inside me. You know, one of the other things is intimacy and joy, that you can actually have intimacy and know Jesus so personally because the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. And the truth is that Jesus is desiring then. So intimacy is sometimes, you know, dancing with Jesus, you know, having fun with him, you know, and having that joy. We were talking about so much joy that you just break out in a musical songs, you know, hey, and you're like, oh, you know, it's for real, folks. And then you do see signs, wonders, and miracles. Now, I'm not talking about, this is not a Christian-y thing. It is for real. I mean, I have laid my hands on my computer that got dead and really got resurrected. No, I'm not kidding you. I'm not trying to make you laugh. It's for serious. You ask my wife. Yeah, it happens. Money coming in. It's like people are like, somebody put this in the offering box with your name, you know? There was once a check inside my mailbox with no name. I mean, it was like it's not a travel, it's like the post office check. You know, there had to be a name. I had to go deposit it. And they said, we can't. There has to be a name. So I said, I'll put my name. So it was Enoch Paul giving it to Enoch Paul. I was like, how fun is that? And I needed that. This was in Illinois. It was, I had to pay $99 for my car renewal insurance. If not, it's going to go off. And this was for $100. Why would somebody spend so much money to get a check and put no name, you know, and I had to deposit. You get the point. You get to see signs, wonders, and it's fun to have the Holy Spirit. You get wisdom. You get wisdom in all things, you know, in all things. And Pastor was so right. You know, we have to. In today's world, you need that wisdom. So my request to you is, if you do not know the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, We talk about the Trinity, you know, in most books and all you'll see, you know, God, the Father is the big figure, and then there's a medium figure, Jesus, and a bird. I mean, you want to get baptized in it? You get pecked by a bird. But that's not it. The Trinity is three equal people sitting in a round table, you know, and talking with each other. That's it. He is a person. We say, did the Holy Spirit baptize you? It is here. It is not here. He is here. Amen. He's a person. So he is very personal. So be continuously, I love the fact that he's mentioned that, be continuously filled. Be continuously filled. Because here's the point, in the world of spirits, he's the only one who doesn't give you a hangover.
Amen.
You can get drunk all the way through. You won't get a hangover, no headaches. I've never had one, so I don't know, but I've heard people say it. Lastly, you know, we have to be continuously be filled. The reason is D.L. Moody, he'd always pray, you know, before he would preach a sermon, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord, fill me. One lady in his church, you know, she was like, why was he always saying, Lord, fill me, lady? Why do you always ask, you know, God to fill you up? He said, because lady, I leak. And that's true. We leak because we live in a world where everything lies for our attention. You know, news and, well, I quit listening to news, you know. Lots of things, entertainment, you know, communicate. I mean, there's this information overload. So we have to be continuously filled. It's like taking a shower. Well, I took shower a month back. You'd be stinking if you didn't take a shower every day. We need to be continuously filled. So be filled. And if you do not know who the Holy Spirit is and you want to be baptized, hey, we'll be praying for you, right, Pastor? We'll pray for you. And it's not rocket science. It's as simple as receiving, believing, receiving, and then walking continuously filled in the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Enoch. And you have to follow that.
Okay.
But you got it.
I do. I'm just going to say a quick prayer. Lord, I just want to glorify you with what I have to say. Let me just speak what you want, okay? He asked me to tell you what does baptism by fire mean to me. I was baptized 3 years ago in the middle of a church service that I had no idea that was happening to me. I don't know the order of things. I was not a Bible reader up until I came to this church. I just knew stories, but Jesus baptized me by fire. Sorry, I can't be humorous like he is, and most of the time I can be, but the three things that it means to me, I wrote down three words before church started. One is freedom. being baptized by fire gives me freedom. And why? Because it gives me choices. I am no longer underneath the enemy. He gives me choices every minute of the day. I can choose to be continually filled, or I can choose to wallow. And I choose to be filled.
Amen. Amen.
I live with earbuds in all the time now when my family's home because they're of the world, and I can't do that world anymore. So I'm trying to learn balance. But the third word is servant. Being filled with the Spirit means you're a servant. And it's glorifying to be a servant because when you are... When you are, he uses you very powerfully. And I just want to share, I had really amazing experiences this week. But the main one, I was in my house on Thursday, and I was doing things and submitting to God and things I did not want to do about my daughter, who's 19, if you can get any idea of what that feels like. But I kept filling myself up, choosing to do that. And I submitted, and it was very difficult. I submitted, and I washed dishes that I didn't want to do that were hers. It was very petty. But I did that, and right after that, he said, I want you to go out into Cherubusco and go to the park or get out of the house, go be with people. And I really didn't want to, but okay. It was cold. I didn't want to get out of the car and go walk, but he had me go to the park. Long story short, I'm trying really hard to keep it simple and short. I ended up at a place that I haven't been in for over 5 years, and it was an apartment complex office. My dad lived in these apartments. I saw a car sitting in front of the office. Haven't been over there for 5 years, but rather than go walk outside, this is where God had me go. And I knocked on the door, even though it said they were closed and she shouldn't be in there. Somebody I don't know answers the door, of course, and you're going, well, I can go home now. I did what he told me. But this person said, no, she hasn't been here for 3 years. And I could have said, okay, thanks. Have a nice day. But because God has me being a servant, I said, is there anything I can pray for you for? And she just stood there. I mean, if you know, the mouth dropping kind of thing. And she said, how uncanny that you show up on the day when I just returned from my first oncology appointment. And I went like this. Okay, Lord, I know you brought me here. I fought you all the way around the park. I fought you all the way to come to this place. I said, may I come in and pray with you? And she said, yeah. So we come in. I was there 5 to 7 minutes. This is really unusual. I go pray with people and I do God's work, but this still blows me over. But I sat down and I gave her real quick my name and I asked hers. At least I did that. I usually forget. But God had me on a mission and I wanted to do that and do it well. But I just gave her real quick, I've had cancer. And I chose to go through cancer looking to Jesus and how can I change other people's lives versus poor me. And in those few minutes, she told me that her mother, her father, and one of her siblings had died from cancer. So right away, you know, the fear is probably pretty high. So I explained to her the other thing I've learned since I've been baptized by fire, and that is fear comes from the enemy. Not something you have to live with. And so there comes freedom. So I gave her a little message on freedom, that you don't have to live in that fear. And I'm just amazed because then we bowed our heads and we held hands and I don't even know this person, but God had me, he flowed through me, the Spirit flowed through me in a way that never happened before. He flowed through me, and I heard myself say stuff like, cancer is a curse, it's a sickness, and you don't have cancer. And I'm telling her this very loudly, sitting in this little office where I don't even know this woman, because I did dishes. Isn't it amazing how God works? Anyways, I don't know what all I said, but like I said, I was in there 5 to 7 minutes, and that's pretty short for me. But he did it. God did it. And so she just opened her eyes. I opened my eyes and I said, I do this. I go out with pray with people, but this has never happened before. And she just looked at me and she goes, And I said, just believe what I said. This all of a sudden, this confidence comes back. And I said, just believe what I just said. That's all. And I stood up and it was very tiny. And right here's the door. And I opened it and I said, God sent me here to tell you that he loves you. That's all. And she said, I believe that. And I shut the door and I left. And I went and I went, oh my gosh. He just used me in a way that I could never even have imagined, you know? So he's made me free. He's given me choices every day. And he's let me be a servant so that I can continually help other people. So, praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for not just empowering Tanya, but for filling her to overflowing. Thank you for your precious anointing and presence in her lives, Father, in her life as she goes back to her house, back to her home, into the world that she came from. And thank you, Father, for changing everything. Your word says that the things that we can see are temporal. They're temporary. They're subject to change. But the things that we cannot see are eternal. And so, Lord, she's tapped into the eternal. And thank you for helping her to bring change even in her home, Lord, where the things are temporal, they're temporary, they're subject to change. So, Lord, we just call your presence into those circumstances and situations. And we thank you, Father, for lifting up Tanya today, for filling her and refilling her with your presence and your reassurance, and that your precious anointing destroys yokes and lifts burdens in unimaginable ways, Lord. So thank you for doing that for her today in Jesus' name. Thank you for blessing her to be a blessing, and thank you, Father, for the tremendous blessing that she's been to this church family and to us personally. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.